How many of you are overwhelmed with what is going on in the world today? I have read my cousin's Facebook piece earlier this morning, and she had put out that she's a 911 dispatcher from Muncie, and she seemed to be overwhelmed. And I kind of looked through some of the comments, and from the dispatchers, they were saying just in Muncie, I don't know the name of the county, but it's county seat, Muncie. I was born in Muncie, so if you know where that is, that's where Ball State is. But had over 500 emergency calls every day this year. Over 500 emergency calls. He says they lack in EMS, they're lacking in police officers, and I don't think that's just a story for Muncie. I think that's a story for America. I'm tired of the politics, tired of all the so-called riots and the so-called getting together and parading up and down the streets, tired of watching Intervention. You watch Intervention? Intervention is watching a drug addict or alcoholic, someone with an addiction, go through it, and at the very end you get the last 30 seconds, and it is, did they make it or not? 95, it seems like 90% of them, they don't make it. And I'm like, Lord, where's the hope? I think God has given us the hope. I think God has given us what we need to make it in this world, but we're not listening. We are not listening. And you know what it is? God said, we have to draw to the Lord. Bible says if we draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us. Today I'm going to use my New King James Version, and that's where we're going to be today. And those, I usually use something else, but today I just like the way the scriptures are written. They're just straight out and right out in front. But I want to let you know today, you don't lack anything you need. You don't have a disconnected line to the Lord. We're just not one to listen. So, and we're not one to do with the Lord. I think sometimes we as churches, and I enjoyed Sunday school class today. It was good sitting back in there with you guys and just looking at things about compassion. But I also see, there's this, we want to get to this part in our churches and these certain levels and all these kind of things. And I want to tell you, I wrestled with numbers for a long time. Once in a while, I still do. But I want to tell you, God always reminds me, I'm not impressed by numbers. God is never impressed by numbers. He's always, it's in what is your heart? Where is your heart? Where is your heart? And today, God has equipped us with more than we actually deserve. And I'm reminded that when I wrestle with God and I wrestle and I try to think I got Him in a headlock, He's got me in a headlock, whatever, I'm just reminded and He whispers in my ear, I don't owe you anything, Jimmy. But boy, did I sure take care of you. Do I sure take care of New Life? And I've got to be reminded today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I love the Father. I love the Son. I hope you do too. But today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. There's a purpose for the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you about how we do this thing. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We just grieve the Holy Spirit. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. So I have a PowerPoint with some pieces on here. If you take notes, I'm going to give you about 6 points today. I'm not a really big point person, but I'm going to do it today. So move along with me. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of what? Of God. With whom you were sealed of the day of redemption. We grieve the Holy Spirit, and we are told in the Word not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's going to be my theme for the next few minutes that we have together. So I want to remind you that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. That is God trying to do something with His Spirit inside of you, and we keep pushing Him away. We don't want to listen. We don't want to go there. We don't want to do that. We want to do our thing. We want to be safe. Okay? So the first thing I want to share with you today, thanks, Chris is going to be my partner today. When I do that, you're going to flip it. Great, great. Number one, the Holy Spirit was there when it all started. When it all started, I'm not talking about Genesis chapter 5. I'm not talking about Genesis chapter 1 verse 10. We're talking about Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. Right there when it all got started. Okay? When it all got started. Now, I was going to try to read off that PowerPoint from behind you guys, but did I make that small? I did. Verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So the Spirit, we always talk about God creating the heavens and the earth, but the Spirit of God was there too. Now this is how important. God puts it right there in the beginning. The Spirit of God was right there. Right there in the very, very beginning of everything that we know to be, for us, what we know to be. Not God, but us, okay? So God was there in the beginning, but the Holy Spirit was there as well. Number two. Now, we're explaining a little bit, but I want you to know that it's not just about knowing scriptures. It's not about understanding it, but it's also about what? It is about experiencing it. Now, we're going to get there. But he says this, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Everywhere. Now, I want to say the Holy Spirit's everywhere, but he's not in everyone. Okay? So you have to move with me just a little bit. All right? So, Psalms 139. We're going to move in some scriptures today. That's why I'm looking up on the wall there. Where can I go from your spirit? This is what where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Verse 8 says, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. But he says, if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit is everywhere. You can't run from God. God has a long arm, okay? God sees everything, okay? But I'm a believer, you say. I'm a believer. So we know that we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Once we become, we ask Jesus in our heart, we have that salvation experience, God deposits inside of you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, okay? Because you can't be what you need to be without the Holy Spirit, okay? You already tried that. It don't work, okay? It doesn't work, all right? Then we're going to go to number three. Now, I want us to say this piece here. Number three, the Holy Spirit's main purpose, one of his main purposes is men, okay? Not that men control him, but he has a purpose there with men, okay? The Holy Spirit moves back and forth and communicates. That's what he does. He's communicating. He communicates our hearts as a believer to God, God's heart to us as a believer, and there's a communication line. And that's who God uses right there, the Holy Spirit, okay? Comes into play a little bit more as we go, but the Holy Spirit is speaking. Now, some of us say, I never heard the Holy Spirit. I don't know what God is speaking to me. Listen, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, okay? He's speaking to you. What he's doing is he's drawing you to God. His ministry is to draw men to God because we're so far away from God. Draw men to God, to draw you to God. That's what he does. When you feel, now listen, if you catch anything, catch this. When you feel that pull in your heart, not to do that sinful thing, when you feel that pull in your heart, just do the thing that God wants you to, that thing that you know that you should, that wrestling in there. Gosh, I feel like I need to be living better for the Lord. I got to watch my mouth. I need to be careful what I'm doing. Why am I wanting to go to church and worship more? Why? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. The Lord is not quiet. He is very loud. He's loud with his Holy Spirit speaking to you. It is an amazing thing how the Holy Spirit can be speaking to several, all these people with different things going on in their life. That's who God is. He's amazing. But the Holy Spirit is in you. So I'm going to tell you today, you have no excuse. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know if I should. You need to stop thinking and start listening. Okay? We need to quit thinking all about our Christian walk is about coming to church and then checking out. Okay? We need to quit thinking about, I'm going to come to church and see what I can get from church. No. No. It doesn't work like that. The Holy Spirit is alive. Amen. It's everywhere. He's in me. If you're a believer, he's in you, and he's speaking, pulling and tugging and pushing and speaking and whispering. And sometimes being very loud. Sometimes he says, stop it for the 400th time. Stop. You don't need to do that. You're a new creation in Christ. Okay, number four. Number four is the Holy Spirit convicts. John 16, verse 8. He convicts, okay? Now, he'll convict sin, We should know that. Okay? And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I want to tell you, when he says he'll convict the world of sin, he tells us, hey, this is not the way we're supposed to do. This is, he convicts the world the way the world is living is wrong. And we should know that as believers because the Holy Spirit lives in us. But also there's a conviction of righteousness. This is how you live. There's a conviction of how I'm supposed to live. We're trying to pull God into our sinful life and try to get God to agree with us and saying living together is okay. Sex outside of marriage is okay. It's my body. No, not as a believer. We are trying to make a new word. We don't need a new word. We got the word. There's a righteousness. Homosexuality is wrong. And I know right now pastors are getting slammed with it. And you may slam me with it, but I'll just say, you need to read the Bible. Amen. You need to go to Romans chapter 1. I'm not beating those people up. I love people. But I don't have to love the sin they're in. You don't have to love the sin. We need to work that. That's the conviction that the Holy Spirit puts upon us. We are not victims. We're sinners when we use that word. We're a victim. No, you're not a victim. And there's no reason to run around and try to get everybody to jump on your bandwagon. And if they don't agree with you, then you turn around and you what they call haters and all that stuff. Listen, the only ones that really truly are haters are those who are going against the Holy Spirit and those who that have the Lord but are stepping out of the Lord and hating people who are sinning. That's why as the next one says he convicts the judgment. He's the one that knows how to judge, not us. But we have a determination, we have a word of God the way we're supposed to live. And he put and deposited into you the Holy Spirit. You should know right from wrong. And we know right from wrong. We know what we should be doing. We know what we should not be doing. We know we should be in the house of the Lord when the doors are open. We know we should share each other's personal pains. I'm tired of hearing so many people. I just caught this at the thrift store yesterday. People coming in, and then I ask them about the Lord. I ask them about the church, and they say, well, this church was this. I walked into a church, and I had a disability daughter. She's 31 years old, and I walked in there, and the pastor says, she don't belong here. She's got a seventh. She has a mentality of a seven-year-old. And she gets loud in the church. She just said, I packed it up, and I left. She sit there, and she judged every church on that one piece. But I also get the part that it cut deep. That cut deep. And I said, listen, that was on his watch and not on my watch. He's responsible for that. And I wouldn't even attend that church either. But you can't run around and be angry at every church there is and angry in the world and says, well, I've got my religion and I've got my beliefs. Me and God's okay. Listen, when your emotions start speaking, you're usually shutting down the Holy Spirit. We're too much on the emotions and not enough on God's Word. And you got to get into God's Word. And today, a lot of people that belong to the Lord, a lot of Christians, we're ignorant of the Word because we don't read it, but we do read our emotions. And we let our emotions determine what we're going to do. And we say God's involved in it. And He's not when it comes to sin. He's not when we walk away from who He is. Listen, you can walk away from a church, but you don't walk away from God. The Holy Spirit is real. He was there in the beginning. He's in us as believers. And he convicts. He also intercedes. Man, the Holy Spirit is busy, is he? The Holy Spirit is really busy. He is really busy. He's not sitting up there in heaven doing their thing. Holy Spirit's here. That's why Jesus says, I got to go. I got to go. So the Comforter will come. That's the Holy Spirit. There's a system going on. It's more valuable and more powerful than anything the world has ever known. As us as people, it's been here before us. God's got a system after this thing's all gone. We need to quit trying to make this thing last forever and just follow the Lord, right? But he says intercede. Likewise, the Spirit also, okay, in Romans 8:26, you can read it right up there in your Bible. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Woo! I have weaknesses? Yes, I do. And so do you. And he's going to help you in your weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray. How many of y'all struggle with praying? I struggle with praying. I get there and I go, Lord, I struggle. But he says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. which means cannot be spoken. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, when you're in that spot and you begin to pray, and you know, there have been times when you start praying, if you started praying, you just said, what am I even saying? I don't even remember what I just said. Sometimes we're just saying that, Lord, be with me today. Help me through this day. Bless my wife. Give me safe travels today. And I think, wait a minute. I'm speaking at God, not speaking to him. We speak at God, and we shouldn't be speaking at him. Sometimes we speak to him, but the best way is speaking with him. Amen. And I don't know how to do that sometimes. So I stop, and I listen, and I said, Lord. And sometimes that's as far as I get for a few moments. Oh, Lord. Because I want to step into that throne. I want to step into that room. We're supposed to go boldly into the throne room, but the throne room can be, when you draw to God, the things that are not right, you just, as Moses, you got to take them sandals off. And sometimes I think, what else do we need to take off? Attitude. I think I got it all together with my pride or my anger. Because I'm looking at everybody else, what they're not doing, what that person should be doing. And then God just says, you know, you need to drop all that for you. It's the most repentance. So the Holy Spirit, I didn't go into prayer about repenting, but the Holy Spirit said, Jimmy, repent. You're getting ready to talk to you were getting ready to talk to God. That's a privilege. But no, don't abuse the privilege. Honor the privilege. Come right. Walk slowly to the throne with your head bowed sometimes. And you get on that one knee and you put your hands forward. And I'm going to tell you, when you get to that moment in prayer, I'm going to tell you the Holy Spirit is praying for you, speaking for you, because you don't know what to say to a holy, perfect God who created you with his hands and put breath in your body. All he's got to do is utter a word and it happens. What power we do not understand to stand in front of that God like that. The Holy Spirit intercedes. He intercedes for us. But then the Bible says also we can go up and we can driving down the road and we can say, and I've done this before and I look like an idiot to people, but I drove and said, Lord, how are we doing today? You know, he's like, he's my passenger. How are we doing today, Lord? Where are we going today? Lord, just be with me. Give me a protective day. And I just want to say, you've been so good to me and I love you. And he's my friend. Amen. I have a friend. The Bible says that sticks closer to that brother. That'd be Jesus. I love it. I talk to him as the awesome God, but I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. I could talk to Jesus, but I can't do it without the Holy Spirit, because I don't know what to say sometimes. I don't know how to put it together. So God just pulls from my heart. Number six. And all this is what we're talking about. Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father. There's this whole thing about what we want to call the Trinity. I've heard people, there's no Trinity in the Bible. Listen, you're not reading your Bible. We just use the word Trinity. Okay? Put them together. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Is that what we're supposed to do? That's what Jesus said, right? And he says, baptize him in the name of the Father and the Son and what? Of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, right? Wraps them all up into three because they're all of God. Amen. And you say, well, I don't understand that. Just keep reading your word and a little bit more. You'll learn a little bit more. You'll learn a little bit more. And who's giving you that understanding? The Holy Spirit. Okay? But if God is the Father, and he is the Creator, he is the one that loved us so much, he's the one we worship. Then worship him. He's worthy of it. And if the Jesus is the one who came from heaven down here as in the form of a man and didn't sin but took on all the pain and sufferings of his death and all of that, and he's our Savior and he sits at the right hand of God interceding for us, and all the things that he does, he is worthy of praise. So let's praise him. We're letting our pains and sufferings come above God and Jesus. Put it down here. When we have anxiety, then our faith is not being used. That's another message. But when you have anxiety and you're stressing out, then you're not using your faith. Okay? But then there's the Holy Spirit. Okay? He is the counselor. Okay? He is the comforter. He is the encourager. He is one to listen to. So I would challenge you today to listen to Him. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He is not quiet. He talks a lot, but He talks the will of God. Bible says He speaks only what He hears. Woo! Not talking, He speaks only what He hears. There's no miscommunication from the Holy Spirit. There's no, wow, I missed a word. No, it is, He repeats and says, only, speaks only what He hears. And He speaks the Word of God. So there is a Trinity. They are my support team. They are your support team to get through this reckless thing in life called living life. It's hard with all the pains and sufferings in it and all the people that are suffering in the world today. But some of that suffering, folks, I want to tell you, is because we have chosen it. We may not have chosen it directly, but the lifestyle we're living, there is consequences of sin. If you go out and you have sexual encounters with people and all of that, and you end up with AIDS or you end up with syphilis or whatever it is, and you pray and you say, Lord, forgive me. There are consequences to our sin. Jesus forgives, but there are consequences. If you go out and drink and you lose your license and you get in an accident, you can ask Jesus to forgive you. And I believe if you do it with your heart, you are forgiven. But there are consequences. You lose your license, you can go to jail. It's going to cost you $10,000, $12,000, $15,000. Somebody could die. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. He is speaking. And He's speaking to all of us who are believers. And if you are not a believer, comes times when He starts knocking on that right in here. And you're like, man, what? I don't know what that is. You know it's different. Is there something odd about it? Is this powerful? That's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. We need to keep our eyes on what we need to keep our eyes on. And keep our eyes off of the things we need to keep our eyes off of. Me, I have temptation to look at numbers. Struggle with it. TB knows I struggle with it. From day one, 15 years ago, Jimmy. Why are you stressing over nickels and noses? He still says that to me. Because I'm from a little bit of that corporate world, a bit about numbers, mentioned it today in class. Because when that's put into your head, it's always about the results. It's always about numbers. Listen, I believe God has words in the Bible when it comes to Gideon and 300, because He said, not anymore, that'd have been too many, you'd have took the glory. Here's 300. Same thing with David's mighty man. Same thing with all these lower numbers. Because God gets the credit. He deserves the credit. What are you searching for? What are you looking for? If you're not doing it with the eyes of the Holy Spirit, you're looking and searching in the wrong places. God has a plan for you. He knows it better than you know yourself. TV will not remember this, maybe, but maybe you do. I asked TB a question a long time ago. Why did God wait so long to call me into the ministry to preach His word? Why did I have to wait till I'm 30? TB, I don't know if you remember your response, but this is what it was. Maybe if you weren't doing your thing, you would have been able to hear the Holy Spirit. And I was like, I was doing my own thing. I was living on my mountaintops. You guys have heard my testimony several times. And I was doing that thing. But this is what I want to tell you about the awesomeness of God. When I went to seek forgiveness, my lifestyle and all the things that I did, and in the world they were great, but in the eyes of God, that's not what He created me to be. I was trying to be a circle, and He made me to be a square. And I'm trying to be a circle fitting in a square hole, and it don't work. But when I came to Jesus that moment and I asked for forgiveness, you know what He did? He's amazing. You know what He did? He took all that junk in my life and now He's using it for good. Now I'm able to work with the ministries that we have, be able to talk to the people that we are working with, and I understand what it was like. Now, I met people who live back in the back alleys. My first case in the military when I was working undercover was to watch two people, and listen, this is the 80s when AIDS were up, and that's the people that I was dealing with, two drug dealers and two drug users who had AIDS, and that was my first piece, and everybody was scared to death just to touch them. Remember back in the 80s, you guys remember that AIDS, when it came out, man, you didn't even want to be around someone. That was my first thing. Now I understand, I'm using all those things. God takes those things. God can take your things in your life if you just turn them over to Jesus, let Him be in charge of it. And He'll do it through speaking to the Holy Spirit. When I was laying in bed, night after night, restless, no peace, when you have no peace in your heart, things are not right. I'm going to tell you, who's doing that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. God will not let you rest peacefully. Listen to me now. God will not let you rest peacefully while you're living in sin. You're not going to get the peace that you know you should have. You're not going to get those nice, peaceful, restful nights when you're living in sin as a Christian. You are going to be restless. You're going to be in pain. You're going to be in sorrow. You may put your frown upside down and fake everybody else out, but you know inside you're just emotionally and spiritually sick. That's because you're not right with God, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, and your relationship with Jesus is a wreck. But you don't want to know something? God still loves you. Amen. He loves you right where you are, but He loves you enough not to leave you where you're at. He's going to pick you up, He's going to pull, He's going to allow that pain and suffering, being thrown out of a boat, all those other things, He's going to allow those things to happen to get you back to where you need to be. And that, as a Christian, is in your relationship with God and your relationship with the Holy Spirit and your relationship with Jesus is getting stronger. Listen, we always talk about, now I'm not a perfect person. I'm not going to ask you to be perfect, okay? The Bible talks about being holy. In 1 Peter, you need to be holy. But I'm going to say this. Just start growing in your walk with Jesus. Today should be a better day and closer to Jesus than you were yesterday. You should be closer to the Father more today than you were 6 months ago. More closer to Jesus and the Holy Spirit than you were, and more in tune to the Holy Spirit than you were a year ago. If you're not, then your relationship with Him is separating. Okay? Not totally separated, but is separating. There's pain. There's a wedge in your relationship. And that's painful. And that's suffering. You need the Holy Spirit. You know why I know that? Because God says you do. We can't live the life that Jesus wants us to live. God wants us to live without the Holy Spirit. So if you're a believer today, I will tell you this. He has put that Holy Spirit inside of you to listen to guide you, to direct you, to lead you, to remind you, to show you, to walk with you until the end of your days. And then you get to go and all that thing and have heaven and all that beautiful stuff. What it is God saying, when you make a relationship with me, I don't leave you. I like that. I might trip and fail. Bible says I might be unfaithful, but he will stay faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. I don't know about you, but I know me. Holy Spirit, I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't make me special. That just makes me knowing the Holy Spirit, how He speaks to me. I know when things are going well. I know when things are not. I know when the Holy Spirit is prodding my heart, telling me no, no, no. But sometimes go, go, go. Sometimes stop, stop, stop. He speaks. So there's no excuse saying, I don't know what the Holy Spirit is saying. I don't know what the Holy Spirit... Listen, stop. Stop thinking. Start listening. Pick up. The Word. Start in John chapter 15, go through 17. Amazing pieces. I'm going to close with this. Jesus says you will have the poor. He was telling some people, you're going to have the poor, but I'm not always going to be here. We are always going to have, in this world, we're always going to have pain and suffering. The world is doing what it can do. The world is spending millions of dollars trying to have peace the way they feel it needs to happen. We're putting people in that have good minds, smart, educated minds. They're doing what they do and what they feel, and we're putting our hope in that. And the problem is, many of us as Christians are following that same path. Let's get this leader. Let's do this. Let's just put all of our money in here. When God has resourced the church, listen, If we were the faithful people that we should be, I'm talking about Christians in America, we wouldn't have enough churches to fill up all the believers. Just the believers just don't want to show up on church. we wouldn't have any financial struggles. The world would be coming to us to help the world and the pains of sufferings, because you would see results in people's lives. Maybe not always the way you want it to, but God is always doing something bigger than we ever could imagine. Churches would be doing the things, compassion things, orphanages, and all those things. Why do you think we get beat down so hard here? Why do you think we struggle hard sometimes with finding? Why do you think we struggle with it? Why do you think we struggle? Because when you're trying to do the thing that God's called you to do, the enemy will rise up and say, all attention goes to that place, because them people, because they're trying to connect with God. So he will attack the pastor's wife. He will attack the pastor's kids. He will attack your brain telling you, I don't like this pastor, but I like this pastor's preaching. I like this, I don't like that. Listen, Satan will use anything and everything he can to claw and to stop this place from being what it will be. But I want to tell you, God has done more in this church than I've seen any other church. Now, I've been everywhere. But I want to tell you, it's not that he did something yesterday, but he's doing something today, and I already got promises that he's doing something in the future. And you're like, what's going on? What's going on? Well, get involved and listen to it. I'm not going out to everybody's house and tell God what he's all doing. We meet here. We meet here to worship and to share the good news, and the good news of him, but also the good news that he's doing here. Where else can you get to a financial moment where you're almost broke, and then God gives you a phone call from somebody you don't even know, and they come in, and then he just whoosh, takes care of that problem. Whoosh, takes care of that problem. Gives us a house over here. Makes this happen. Makes this happen. Makes that happen. I want to tell you today, there's not another church I'd want to belong to. There's not a church I would want to pastor right now. I want to be part of this whole thing with New Life and New Life Fellowship, New Life Ministries. Because God is here. God is here. Why do you think? I mean, I've gotten calls from Alabama here recently, from Florida recently, and Mississippi. They're all wanting to come in. They're going to crash this place because they're looking for some place where God is working. And some of us are so far into the tree line, I struggle at times, and people remind me, Jimmy, you're in the woods. You can't see the beauty of the woods because you're in there seeing all the pains and the bark and all the dirtiness and all that. But you can step out once in a while and just take a look at it, and you'd be like, whoa! It makes no sense. This is why I've lost some pastor friends. It makes no sense that God is doing this with this amount of people. That's how we know it. It's a God thing. He didn't choose the biggest church in town. He chose the worst place in town, the inner city area. He chose us. And this is his spiritual hospital. You're going to see him come in, and you're going to see him go. I'm understanding this now, but he's bringing them in, and they go. People don't like that. Talk to people. A lot of people don't even like to go to hospitals. There's a smell. There's a lot of pain. You can walk down in just the hallway, and there's a couple crying over here. There's another couple over here that's happy. They had a baby, but then right down the hall, there's somebody else that just died. It's messy. But you know why it's messy? Because our lives are messy. Sin is messy. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of it. Of the sin that we've committed, but also the righteousness that we need to live. We need to follow the Spirit of God. No matter where he takes us, no matter what he's called you to do, he'll never call you to do something you can do on your own. You could have done that on your own. He always calls you to do something that you got to trust him with. And that's what he's doing here. So I'm going to stop because I can go for a while. The Holy Spirit is speaking loudly today. And I want to open it up to you today that whenever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, that you just listen to him. And all you got to do is be, it's very simple. What is he telling you? And do it. Do it.